just below your chin to see if you have any type of reaction. If you experience any extreme irritation, discontinue use or consult your dermatologist for next steps. Find your hero product. Lactic acid can be found in a wide variety of skincare products, including the following. Cleansers. Great for acne-prone skin. A face wash containing lactic acid is a great way to reap the benefits of the ingredient without too much time on your skin, reducing the potential for irritation. Be sure to avoid areas around the eyes. Creams or lotions. Creams and lotions are a great way to introduce lactic acid into your routine because they're often formulated with moisturizing ingredients like ceramides and hyaluronic acid, mitigating potential dryness. Serums. Serums typically deliver a more potent shot of active ingredients to the skin. It's best to use these at night after cleansing and before moisturizing. Masks. These products are designed to give you a quick hit of exfoliation, meaning the concentration of lactic acid and other potent ingredients may be higher. In general, experts recommend using a mask like this once per week or as needed. Here are some examples. Cleanser. AHA, BHA exfoliating cleanser combines salicylic, lactic, and glycolic acids. Murad, hydration, AHA, BHA exfoliating cleanser. Serum, lactic acid, 10% plus HA. The Ordinary, Sephora.com, can be purchased for $6.80. Combines lactic acid and hyaluronic acids. Essay lotion for rough and bumpy skin combines salicylic and lactic acids. CeraVe Essay lotion for rough and dry bumpy skin. Face mask, glycol lactic radiance renewal mask. Ren Clean Skincare, Sephora.com, for $58. Combines glycolic and lactic acids. Avoid mixing. Unless a product is specifically formulated with multiple acids like the ones mentioned above, avoid pairing your lactic and acid products with another product that contains AHAs, BHAs, or retinol at the same time of application to avoid excessive dryness. Don't forget sunscreen. Again, always use SPF in the morning if you use a lactic acid product the night before. This can help protect the new healthy skin from UV damage. That article was, lactic acid is the gentle ingredient you need for smoother, younger looking skin, by Jessica Magala. That's all the time we have for that article. That article was, The Simple Guide Will Teach You How to Meditate Even When Your Mind Wanders, by Nicole Natale. That concludes today's reading of Prevention Magazine. This has been Herbert Gilmore for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 69 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-70s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low-70s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil Sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram's oil report for Sunday, August 30th. Permian's future could lie in storing CO2 emissions. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Future generations of petroleum engineers may soon need to be as skilled at putting things into the ground as they are getting oil and natural gas out of the ground. That is the advice offered by Christine Ellie Economides, professor, and Hugh Roy and Lily Kranz Cullen, distinguished university chair at the University of Houston. Quote, "My students are very aware of what's going on," she said during a webinar examining the Permian Basin's role in creating geologic value from utilizing carbon dioxide. Quote, "We are still emphasizing petroleum engineering for minerals," she said. "I see interest in introducing more about the subject we spoke about today, carbon capture, utilization and storage, and carbon capture and storage it's encountered in the coursework. Where we're not yet putting out much material has to do with injection sites. That has to do with computation for CO2 emissions through CCUS. It's about the emissions and handling those emissions. Geologic storage can handle more of those emissions. If we're able to do this cost-effectively, petroleum engineers can be as busy on injection as they are in production in the future," Elik Economides said. Midlander Steve Melzer, owner of Melzer Consulting and director of the annual CO2 conference held each December in Midland, agreed. Quote, "Our industry is not static. I see us dynamically moving forward. The horizontal world has opened our eyes to things we only dreamed of before," he said. "I think you have an exciting future if you're young enough to take this on," end quote. The Permian Basin has almost 50 years of experience handling CO2 as a valued commodity, especially in its use in enhanced oil recovery projects, said Elling Economides. She said that since 1982, the Permian Basin has produced 1.6 billion barrels of crude, the equivalent of capturing the emissions off 3-gigawatt coal power generating plants. The Permian accounts for most of the nation's oil production via CO2 EOR projects, and basically most of the world production as well, she said. With interest growing in reducing emissions, she said carbon capture and storage, and then carbon capture, use and storage, can be the middle ground between those who want to stop all fossil fuel use and those who believe global warming is a hoax. Quote, "Most people are in the middle," she said. "Sources of energy are hugely important and vital. Our standard of living depends on them. Consider the economy and find ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. We can find the technology to reduce emissions without going to extremes," end quote. The work being done to understand and develop residual oil zones could play a role in capturing and storing CO2 emissions, as well as putting that CO2 to work in EOR projects, said Melzer. The work depressurizing those zones in order to produce the remaining oil opens up significant space to store CO2, he said. There are 80 active CO2 EOR projects in the San Andreas Formation of the Permian Basin. Quote, "The San Andreas Formation and the Permian Basin is probably the most wonderful example of enormous pore space that can accommodate huge volumes of CO2 in both carbon capture, utilization and storage, and carbon capture and storage," he said. Looking to the future, Elik Economides said, the drive to not only capture and store CO2 emissions, but to use that CO2 to increase oil production will focus not just on natural CO2 sources, but sources of processed CO2 that come from industrial activities. That could favorably impact the Gulf Coast by capturing the emissions from the refineries and catalytic crackers in that region, she said. The challenge will be building the infrastructure to move that CO2 from the Gulf Coast to the Permian Basin for use in EOR projects. Chuck McConnell, executive director of the Center for Carbon Management and Energy at the University of Houston, who served as moderator of the discussion, sees opportunity in creating value from the Permian's geologic formations. Quote, "This requires a lot of skills, a lot of capabilities, a lot of data analytics that are vital to the energy industry," he said. "It's an opportunity we're excited about," end quote. Efficiency and integrity remain despite energy industry's transitions. The story was written by Mella McEwen. After more than a century, the nation's energy industry is facing transitions like never before, from technological advances to changes in consumer demand to the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. Enverus, the Austin-based energy analytics company, brought together three energy experts to discuss the industry's past and what it will look like in the future. Quote, "Nothing feels like it's standing still today," said Patrick Ruddy, technical director at Enverus, serving as moderator. Continuing the quote, "Everything is changing. There's a lot of change going on right now, and the pace of change in the industry notwithstanding, COVID feels like it's leaving me in the dust. Let's talk about the past. Talk about what's going to persist in the oil and gas industry, what bedrock principles and skill sets that have been part of the business you think will remain part of the business," end quote. Alan Gilmer, founder and advisor at Enverus, replied, quote, "I think what's going to remain is oil people will remain focused on how to drill and complete wells at as low a cost and efficiently as possible. That is a skill set every independent really admires when they see it amongst each other. Those who can operate efficiently are always going to be the best partners. The other aspect is what has always been. Can you find hydrocarbons produced at such a rate and enough hydrocarbons to make a wildly profitable return? That is what the oil business has always been and always will be about," end quote. Rob Butler, co-founder of Redbone Resources, agreed, quote, "Projects being economic, having a strong foundation, an engineering foundation," he said. Scott Anderson of Anderson Oil Limited said that his father founded the business in 1949 and he joined in 1981 after graduating from the University of Texas. Quote, "I can only speak to 1981 forward, but I was hanging around for dinner table conversations," he said. "What comes up to me is what's old is new. We're in a cycle now. I got out of school in 1981, and I got job offers from people I didn't even interview with. It was crazy. Then 1986 came around. Everyone thought oil prices would hit $100. They hit $9. We moved forward. 3D seismic became a big thing. Then for 15 to 20 years, it was good stuff. August 2014 rolled around and started a downward trend. We've not really come back up since then. We've had some blips up now that we have COVID-19 and the Russia-Saudi Arabia price war. You've got to stay in the game. You've got to keep coming back," end quote. Asked what he thinks may never come back, Anderson answered, quote, "I'd like to think we have integrity. You still have to do some blocking and tackling, do geology and geophysics. You need creativity. The key to it is like sitting at a poker table in Vegas. You have to know how to play the hand. If you put all your chips down on the wrong hand, you're done. We need to stick to basics. My dad's favorite wisdom was, never do a single deal that by itself will put you out of business. Yes, if it works, you're made. If it doesn't, you're out of the game. Again, you got to stay in the game," end quote. What will go by the wayside as the industry changes will be the ability to go public with assets that don't need to go public, said Gilmer. Quote, "The thing that's interesting is today you have a whole group of smart people pay a lot of attention to assets, and now you can't play these games of going public and getting a lot of value above and beyond assets," he said. Twitter, he said, is full of people who analyze those assets. Quote, "A lot of CEOs hate those guys. You learn a lot, and you learn a lot about how people look at assets," Gilmer said. "Every industry deserves to be looked at with that type of tone, because there are people going public with assets that didn't know how to operate them. There was nothing special about them. If you're a company and trying to do something, you should have a special product, have an approach that other guys don't have. This is a commodity business, but that doesn't mean you have to be a commodity. There's always a moment when money pours into certain facet. It's great to ride that surfboard, but at the end of the day, this industry has the opportunity to stand up and show it can be good stewards of wealth and other people's money. Anyone using other people's money, care for it. Your reputation is the most important thing, and I think everything is coming around to that. End quote. As someone whose company recently has held talks with financiers, Butler said he doesn't want to take money and misuse it. Quote, "My reputation is on the line," he said. "Everything is based on progress, putting value back, having a geologic model in the back of your mind. After 5 or 7 years, you have to make a return on the investment. Think through that whole cycle before you write that big check." End quote. For all the challenges, they agree the industry has a future. Quote, "I'm a fourth-generation oil patch," said Anderson. "I tell people I'm the luckiest guy on the planet. Every morning my job is to go out and look for hidden treasure. What kid doesn't dream of that? The business is going to change. It will not be the same business. The business I got into was different in 2000. We will be able to adapt and stay in the game." End quote. Gilmer said, quote, "If you have an appetite for risk, there's a lot of people who don't belong in the industry for sure. For the right type of person who likes to solve a puzzle, if you are a gamer, and you like the search for buried treasure Scott talked about, this is an industry that will benefit you. You can get in this business without having a ton of money. It's an industry in which an idea and a little bit of ability to talk to people can make you rich. Very few industries can do that. I don't want to see it go. This industry made everyone across all walks of life rich, from the roughneck to the wildcatter." End quote. PBEX Resources names new president. PBEX Resources has promoted Tom Tachia to be president. Tachia joined PBEX Resources in 2015 as executive vice president of land. In 2018, he was promoted to chief operating officer. Under his leadership, PBEX has continued to grow its Permian Basin acreage footprint and increase its operated well count to 57 in Texas and New Mexico. Tachia directs a team of reservoir engineers, landmen, and geologists that are specialized in building operated acreage positions that result in best-in-class development projects for PBEX LLC. Charles Perry will maintain his role as chief executive officer and continue to focus on strategic planning, business development, and maintaining his relationships with key stakeholders. The PBEX executive management team includes Perry as CEO, Wes Perry as chairman, Tachia as president, Brooks Perry as executive vice president, Hick Roman as chief accounting officer, and Chelsea Pervier as human resources manager.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, August 30th, 2020. A High Wire Act by Dennis Elam, assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. We have consistently warned that the market is a high wire act. The stock averages are pushed higher by fewer and fewer stocks with heavy weights in the averages. Here are some examples. The S&P 500 closed higher for 5 days in a row, but on 4 of the 5 days, more individual stocks were down than up. A survey of investment advisors shows the highest level of bullish opinion in 31 years. The mantra is buy low, sell high, not the other way around. ExxonMobil was removed from the DJIA 30 and replaced with Salesforce. It advanced 29% Monday, helping move the overall average higher. Last week, the NASDAQ advanced 190 points in a day. Apple alone accounted for 167 points of that rise. This looks more and more like the dot-com mania, which rose the final 3,000 of 5,000 NASDAQ points in the last two of its 18-year rally. The removal of ExxonMobil from the Dow Jones Index speaks volumes that energy is not the important industry it used to be. The FANG stocks, all tech-related, reign supreme. The volume of oil and gas produced has the U.S. more independent of Mideast uncertainty. Now we face the uncertainty of a Democratic Party victory, which would shelve the very industry that has given us that independence. The charts of the international oils look the same. Each bounced from late March to June 8th, well below the February 12th highs. The prices may vary, but each is testing a line of support going back to May. This would include BP, ExxonMobil, CVX, and COP. A break of even a couple of points below those lines will call the recovery rally into question, suggesting lower prices. Eagle Ford producers and service companies are spending more time in bankruptcy court than in the oil patch. The best of the group, including Continental Resources, EOG, and Diamondback, also reflect charts like the internationals. A drop of even a couple of points would likely send share prices much lower. The home alone movement means less demand for fuel by both commuters and airlines. The latter continue to shed thousands of employees. Share prices of most oil drillers, both on and offshore, are in single digits, some trading for less than a dollar. The markets seem impervious to what is sure to be a battle over close election results. Control of the Senate is even more important. That could mean a Democratic Senate and House, the former likely no longer tied to a 60-vote rule to pass legislation. As mentioned last week, it appears the High Wire Act will extend beyond Labor Day when the campaigns begin in earnest. The Economist. Long-term economic forecast for Texas metropolitan areas by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. The COVID-19 pandemic and resulting restrictions needed to slow the spread of the virus have caused substantial harm to the economy. Even in the face of significant job losses and output declines, however, the underlying structure is generally sound and long-term prospects remain positive, though the next couple of years will be quite different than what we were expecting before the coronavirus. Looking beyond the immediate horizon, our latest long-term forecasts for job growth in the state's metropolitan areas are, on the whole, encouraging. Let's take a quick trip around the state. The Dallas-Plano-Irving Metropolitan Division, MD, is expected to see the fastest job growth through 2045, with expected growth of 0.79% per year, representing a gain of over 1.6 million jobs. The Austin, Round Rock, Georgetown Metropolitan Statistical Area, MSA, is projected to expand at a 1.65% annual rate, generating over 590,000 net new jobs. Other MSAs predicted to advance by 1.5% or more, well above our current national forecast of 1.36% per year over the 2019 to 2045 period are Tyler, 1.57% annual growth, McAllen, Edinburgh, Mission, 1.52%, Brownsville, Harlingen, 1.52%, Midland, 1.52%, and Odessa, 1.5%. Both Houston, Woodlands, Sugar Land, and San Antonio, New Braunfels, two of the largest urban centers in the state, are projected to gain jobs at a 1.49% annual rate, leading to increases of over 1.5 million and almost 534,000 jobs, respectively. Fort Worth, Arlington, Grapevine employment is expected to expand by 1.47% per year, bringing a total increase of more than 501,000 jobs. Notable gains are also likely in Sherman Denison, up 1.46% per year, Laredo, 1.44%, Lubbock, 1.43%, and Corpus Christi, 1.41% per year. Expansion of 1.3% or more is projected in El Paso, Abilene, Amarillo, Beaumont, Port Arthur, College Station, Bryan, Longview, San Angelo, Texarkana, and Waco. Healthy growth is also forecast for Killeen, Temple, Victoria, and Wichita Falls. Our long-term projections indicate that through 2045, 8 of every 10 net new Texas jobs will be created in one of the 7 largest MSAs, with the Houston and Dallas areas alone accounting for half of the positions added. Smaller population centers are expected to generate another 14% of total Texas employment growth, with rural areas also making significant contributions to overall economic performance. Once the health crisis is adequately managed, business activity can fully resume and the economic crisis will resolve. It will take a couple of years to get back on track, and things will no doubt look a bit different, but we are projecting long-term job growth in metropolitan areas, large and small, as well as rural communities. The national economy was performing well going into the pandemic, and the current downturn was not caused by structural issues. Texas was doing even better, setting the stage for sustained growth in the decades to come. Stay safe.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, August 31st, 2020. This is the oil page. This article is entitled Commentary. Exxon's removal from Dow shows big oil's decline, by Julian Lee Bloomberg. From today, there will be just one oil company in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, Chevron Corporation. The removal of ExxonMobil Corporation from the index after an uninterrupted presence since 1928 shouldn't come as a surprise. It's not the end of big oil, but it may signal the start of the beginning of the end. It may seem odd to remove one of the only two oil companies in the index at a time when the shale boom has transformed America's role in the global market. After all, U.S. now produces more oil and more natural gas than any other country. Last year's domestic oil production was up by 125% from levels in 2010, while gas output has increased by 60%. But those figures tell only part of the story, and not the most important part. It's not the first time that there's only been one oil company or gas company on the Dow. The last time was between 2000 and 2008, when Exxon was the sole industry representative. Before that, you have to go back to the 1920s. For a brief period of 2 weeks in 1924, there were none at all. Why remove Exxon rather than Chevron? That's easy. The Dow is calculated using share prices, not market capitalization. So Chevron's higher share price, it's more than twice that of Exxon's, gives it greater weight in the index. At the close of business on August 27th, Chevron accounted for 2.04% of the Dow. Exxon, just 0.96%. Removing Chevron would have reduced the weight of oil to an unreasonably low level. Its stock has also outperformed that of its larger rival over almost any recent period you care to choose. The replacement of Exxon with a Salesforce.com, a cloud software bellwether, reflects the evolution of the U.S. economy, even as the current president champions the fossil fuel industries. The first shale boom, which saw natural gas output start to rise from 2005 and oil follow it 5 years later, helped spur a massive surge in jobs in the sector. The number of people employed in oil and gas extraction rose from about 125,000 in the first half of 2005 to a peak of more than 200,000 at the end of 2014, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The second shale boom only created a quarter of the jobs that had been shed in the sector between 2015 and 17, before it ran out of steam at the end of last year. And then the COVID-19 pandemic struck. Despite record production levels, oil and gas extraction contributed a mere 1% of U.S. GDP last year, according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. Oil just isn't what it was to the U.S. economy, and with much of the shale boom driven by small independent oil and gas companies, big oil is even less important. It is not just in the U.S. that big oil faces headwinds. Its opportunities and reputation are in decline worldwide. The oil majors, including Royal Dutch Shell PLC, BP PLC, and Total SE, operate in a world where they are often denied access to prime prospects. They're kept from investing in key areas of low-cost production, such as Saudi Arabia, Iran, Venezuela, and Russia, by local laws or the risk of sanctions. In other areas, they face contract terms that make investment unattractive. It's not just the lack of opportunities to discover and develop